I can see that the same Hebrew word for word, davar, is the Hebrew word for thing. And that a word becomes a thing.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim bring a message that shows how the words you use will be the determining factor in what your life and your world will become.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We are in a study this week with Billy Brim from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. Welcome, Billy. This is good.
This is good.
This is good. And I'll just throw this in. What Billy's teaching us this week is what changed Ken and my lives. We were already born again, filled with the Spirit, but then we learned about our words, and we were in trouble. We were in debt. We had bills we couldn't pay. We didn't know what to do. When sickness came, we would pray, but then we keep talking the sickness, so nothing happened. So you want to not miss one of these broadcasts this week and next week about your words. And all of us, this is something I have to hear over and over. You know, I have to stay on top of this because the world, the stream of the world is negative. You get bad news all the time. You hear bad news all the time. And but you, if you want to be blessed, which is what I want to be, you have to say blessed words. You have to say the words that agree with the Word of God, because those are blessing words. So this is very, very important. And I think Billy would agree with me that this changed your life also.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, for instance, you can believe in healing. But if you keep talking sickness and disease, you're going to have sickness and disease instead of healing.
That's right.
Because we know from the Word of God, and I'm sure we'll cover that this during these teachings, we know that faith has to have heart and mouth. It has to. The Word has to be in your heart, and it has to come out your mouth. You have to apply it. So these are absolutely critical things.
You believe something in your heart.
That's right.
And you release your faith with faith-filled words.
That's right.
And then it has the power to create. God's words had the power to create. And then he gave a gift to man. We're talking about this gift. He gave it to all men, not just born-again Christians.
That's right.
He gave this gift to all men, and he started it with Adam. And there was a gift that God gave Adam that differed him from all the animals.
That's right.
And that gift, we read about it in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. This is the King James translation. But you know that the original Bible was written in Hebrew. So this is the King James translation from original Hebrew into English. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Now, I started teaching this and saying these things, and then I hear others saying it. And I think some of them like got it from me. And I want to establish that I didn't make this up. This has a foundation that is accepted by Hebrew scholars.
That's right.
And the translation, there is a translation of that verse, which is the Onkelos translation. I'm holding it up right here so you can see. You don't need this book. You don't need to call and see how to get it or anything. Probably some of you will. But you really don't need this. What you really need is, and I think it's a need, the stone edition of the Chumash, which will quote Onkelos. Who is this Onkelos that made this translation? What in the world kind of a translation is this anyway? Which translates that verse, the Lord God created Adam or Adam from the dust of the earth. He blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a speaking spirit. A speaking.
Great revelation right there.
Spirit!
Yes, that's right.
We're created in the image of God. God is spirit.
Dogs can't talk. Squirrels can't talk.
No! I'm spirit.
Lions can't talk.
I live in this house, you see, but I'm spirit made in the image of God. And like God, who created his world through his words, and God said, and God said, and God said, this world, then I, Adam, was given this ability to speak, intelligent speech. And the Chumash, which I really do think would be good for you to have. It's the first five books of the Bible.
That.
You love yours. I love mine. And it is the first five books. This is the stone edition of the Chumash, spelled C-H-U-M-A-S-H. This is the Art Scroll series. You can go online and get it from Art Scroll. A-R-T-S-C-R-O-L-L. I think you sell this,
we
too.
We sell them. Mm-hmm.
And we sell this, too.
It's so good.
It's so good. And in this translation right here of the Chumash, I was showing to Gloria, because she reads her Chumash all the time, but she didn't even know this about it. And I've lately found out about this. But right here is the original Hebrew. The original Hebrew is correct. And over here is English translation by the Jews who did this translation. But right here in the middle, you see a little column, and this is Aramaic. If you saw the movie, The Passion, all the words were in Aramaic with, what do they call that, subtitles down here as to what the people were saying. And so this middle part here is an Aramaic translation, the first translation into Aramaic. The first translation from the Hebrew Bible into Greek is called the Septuagint. But the first translation into Aramaic is called Onkelos, because that's the man's name. Targum Onkelos. Targum means translation. And Onkelos translates that, and they tell you here, Onkelos defines man as a speaking spirit. Accordingly, the life that is unique to man and which only God could blow into him is the rational soul that includes the power of intelligent speech. This is what elevates a human above animal life. The ability, and therefore the responsibility, to use his intelligence in God's service. Man, Adam, was to use his intelligence and his gift of intelligent speech in God's service. He used it to name the animals. He could have used it to create, like Brother Copeland says, the whole earth, a veritable Garden of Eden. Yes. You could create with your gift of intelligent speech, your atmosphere. In fact, you do.
That's right.
The atmosphere that you have in your house, you create it with your words. If you and your husband fight all the time, if you and your wife fight all the time, you and your kids scream at each other, then you have created in your house, I don't care if you're born again, you have created chaos. My daughter, Shelley, she saw these things because she came to know Brother Hagin when she was 9. And when she got married, she wanted to have heaven in the home. Like it says you can have in Deuteronomy. And the Lord told her one time, wallpaper your house with positive, faith-filled words.
Wow.
So she would go around her house. That's Shelley.
No wonder Shelley's so happy.
I'm telling you, Shelley is so happy. Mm-hmm. And Shelley, I live with Shelley now since her husband moved to heaven. And she just walks and talks the word of God. Constantly. And she would take the words of the Bible and wallpaper her house. She decorated her house with them. And her children couldn't wait to get home from school every day because in their house was peace. And you can have it in your house. You are, God created his world with words. You are going to create your world with words. You do. You have today what you created yesterday. But thank God you can change today and create immediately. For today and tomorrow.
Amen.
Bless the world. We all changed. We had a day when we had to come. I remember when we first heard Brother Hagin speaking on You Can Have What You Say, which comes from, and we're going to go into it more tomorrow, which comes from Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe in his heart that whatsoever he saith shall come to pass, those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So we're going to have what we say. Now, I want to talk to you about this onkelos, who translated that a speaking spirit. I want to prove to you that we're not making this up, that it has a foundation, that you are a speaking spirit. And here from the Targum onkelos, they write, the rabbis of the Talmud recognized the Targum onkelos as the authoritative translation of the Bible. And it remains so to this day. It was the document that the rabbis expected people to read to determine the meaning of scriptural words and spiritual words and phrases. They said, read the Bible in its original Hebrew twice each week and once in the Aramaic translation of Targum Onkelos. So that's why in this Humash, they have printed right here the Targum Onkelos. They want the people to read the original translation, and then they want them to read the Targum Onkelos. The printers of the rabbinic Bibles place Targum Onkelos in a central column in every publication of the Bible. Indeed, there's no rabbinic Bible in which Targum Onkelos does not take center stage. Rashi and other renowned Bible and Talmudic commentators were convinced it was so sacred that it was a divine gift granted to Moses at Mount Sinai. But it didn't come down through Moses, and it didn't even come down through the oral law. It came down through a man who was actually a proselyte to the Jewish religion. And so this is a translation, but I wanted you to know what a place it held. That in those who have so long understood and translated the Bible, that to say man became a speaking spirit is not just grabbing something out of the wild blue.
Yes.
It is something that's very scriptural. Here in, I use this book so much, How the Hebrew Language Grew by Edward Horowitz. And here's what he says about and did you see the movie Passion?
Mm-hmm.
And there everything was in Aramaic. And a lot of words that the Hebrews say today are Aramaic words. And here's what this man said about it. A language that Hebrew borrowed from extensively was Aramaic. It's the language Jesus spoke when he walked the earth. Aramaic is the closest sister language of Hebrew. For almost 1,000 years, Aramaic was an international language used by the close neighbors of the Jews. And for many centuries, Aramaic was the language spoken by the Jews of Babylon and even of the Holy Land. It was during these years that it became a second national and second sacred language of the Jews. And it influenced Hebrew profoundly. The influence was on the whole a healthy one, for Aramaic was highly developed and a practical language, simple in its grammatical structure. Whatever Hebrew needed, they helped themselves to from the Aramaic, just as Latin and Greek serve English as a storehouse of additional words available for all purposes, scientific, philosophical, etc. There's so many words we have that are like circus, you know, mm-hmm. and that are Latin words, just plain out from the Latin. Same way with Aramaic. Aramaic would be drawn upon by Hebrews when they needed a new word. It is a happy thing that we have so close a sister language of Hebrew in view of the fact that so much of the ancient Hebrew language was lost even because they didn't speak it every day. Now, they used it as a study. It was always in the Word, but it was not a language they spoke every day. It was revived when 60 years ago, just a few days past here now in May, we have celebrated the 60th anniversary of the rebirth of Israel.
So this was the key to the rebirth of
Israel. A key to the rebirth of Israel is that they reinstated Hebrew as a spoken language. But even a lot of the words that they speak like, I like the phrase they say for why not. It's lama lo. Lama lo. Why not? But that Hebrew lama is Aramaic. The Hebrew for it means why not. The Hebrew word is medua. The Aramaic word is lama. You know, Jesus on the cross. It is written in our King James Bible. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Mm-hmm. My God, why, lama, have you forsaken me? Well, those words are all Aramaic. And so Aramaic, just because something is in an Aramaic translation, there is no doubt in the world that many or most of the words, the Aramaic words, regarded as being borrowed by Hebrew from the Aramaic, were part of the ancient original Hebrew stock. So when we say to you, man became a speaking spirit, don't write me and say, that's not my Bible. You know, I don't see that in there. If you could read the original Hebrew and you knew the word for spirit, and you knew the word for breath, and you knew the word for soul, and you knew onkelos, you could accept, and man became a speaking spirit. He was given, and this is what they say here in this translation right here, and this is the Humash translation, and the Humash translation translates that into English, and Hashem, God, Hebrews 2:7, formed the man of dust from the ground, and he blew into his nostrils the soul of life, and man became a living being. Now they're going to tell to you what onkelos translates. Onkelos defines it as
Genesis 2:7.
Genesis. What did I say?
Hebrews.
Forgive me.
You're forgiven.
Genesis. Thanks for straightening me out. Genesis 2:7. I'll be preaching my daughter Shelley over there. She'll do this to me quite often. I call wrong books or wrong numbers or whatever, and she always straightens me out. So bless the Lord. Genesis 2:7. Onkelos translates this as a speaking spirit. Man became a speaking spirit. Accordingly, now, this is the part to get. The life that is unique to man and which only God could blow into him is the rational soul that includes the power of intelligent speech. This is what elevates a human above animal life, the ability and therefore the responsibility to use his intelligence in God's service. And so I submit to you that we will be held responsible for what we say, for what we do with our creative power. In my own observation, man releases this speech through things called words. And in the Hebrew, there's a word, it's Strong's number 1697. And it's the Hebrew word for word, it's devar. And right in Strong's, if you use Strong's Concordance, you will see that it can mean three things. It can be translated three ways. It's the word devar. And the word devar. We might say D-V-R or D-B-R, debar. It means a word. It means a matter. And it means a thing. And you'll see if you have a Center Reference Bible like I do that sometimes they translate that word. And then if you go into the middle, they'll say or thing. Now, this is my own thinking, my own meditation. But I can see that the same Hebrew word for word, devar, is the Hebrew word for thing. Mm-hmm. And that a word becomes a thing. The word that you speak can become a thing. Whosoever shall say shall have whatsoever he saith. It can be a thing of healing. It can be a thing of blessing. It can become a house to live in. Mm-hmm. It becomes a thing, something you see. You believe it in your heart. You have to find the promise in God's word. You just can't believe that God's going to give you, 10,000 oil wells. You have to find the basis of it here to believe in God's word. But if you believe it and then you say it, it comes to pass. For instance, your child, teenager, just rebellious. If you constantly say to that teenager, you're not going to amount to anything. Mm. You're going to end up in jail. They're going to come after you. But if you will begin to say about that teenager, what God's, you're going to be a success in life because you prayed it. You're believing God for it. Then you say to that teenager, you're going to be a success in life. You're going to be blessed. And you might just see the most horrible things happening. But the way to create that, after they become teenagers, it's different when they're little children. You train up a child in the way he should go. When they become teenagers, when they become in that rebellious state, you use your authority over the demons that bother them quite a part away from them. But you begin to speak about their lives. And I know one woman who gave this testimony. She told her brother Hagin, my son is this and that and all, he's going to this and that. And brother Hagin said, I'm not going to pray for him. If I pray for him, every single thing that I prayed, you'd undo with your words. He said, but if you'll begin to say about him, you're going to make it. She came back sometime later and told brother Hagin, I did exactly. It was so hard. He'd be out late at night and I'd just be sure he was in jail. But then finally he changed. He began to change. The atmosphere began to change. He began to ask her to go to church with her.
Praise God.
There's creative power in the words. It was given to us for that. Now, I believe in this year, 2008, we're going to use it. You remember Charles Capps wrote a book, The Tongue.
Yeah, creative.
A creative force.
That's right.
That's a good book for you to get by
that
Charles Capps.
That's an excellent book.
The Tongue. My mother edited that book. A creative force. God gave us the tongue, and we'll be talking more about that tongue. What do you do with your tongue? What have you done with your gift of creative speech?
Well, you can look around you and see.
You can look around you and see.
You can see what you've done. Now, we know that faith comes by hearing the word. Faith goes by saying, Jesus taught us. And faith is the substance.
The substance.
Of things hoped
things,
for.
Things.
Faith gives substance. Hallelujah.
Things.
Glory to God.
Of things hoped for.
You can turn your financial situation around. You can turn your body around. You can turn habits in your life out to pasture. You can get rid of bad habits and create good habits. And you, this is the key. I mean, Ken and I never, we never began to increase. We never had victory in our lives. We didn't know how to stay healed until we learned about our works. So you don't want to miss any of these broadcasts. Billy and I'll be right back.
Turn right.
Imagine knowing where to go at every turn, how to find your way even if you got lost.
Make a legal U-turn.
And having the confidence that you'll reach your final destination. Most people believe God has a plan for their lives, but with so many roads to choose, how do you know if you're on the right path?
You have arrived at your destination.
In God's Master Plan for Your Life, Gloria Copeland shares 10 keys to fulfill your destiny and help you find and connect to God's perfect will. God has the answers to all of your needs, and He has a personalized plan for every area of your life.
God has a plan for you. And we're told that if we'll seek Him, we'll find it. We'll find Him, and when we find Him, we'll find it. In your personal life, the more time you spend in the Word of God, and the more time you spend talking to God, the more of your master plan you will fulfill.
Gloria's latest book will encourage and inspire you to trust God and believe Him for His plan. God's Master Plan for Your Life is available wherever books are sold. Be sure to get your copy today. Even if you've taken a wrong turn along the way,
recalculating,
God can get you back on course and put you on the right path. Discover God's Master Plan for Your Life and allow the blessing of God to change your life forever.
We want to pray for you today before we do anything else, and pray that you will grasp hold of this truth because it'll change your life. Father, we lift up every person today. Lord, reveal to them the truth of the words, the power that's in their words according to your word.
Thank you.
As you taught it to Ken, to me, to Billy, and so many others, that it rearranged our lives when we begin to speak your word. I'm asking you, Lord, and I pray for every person. I ask you to give them the revelation of changing their words to what they want to come to pass rather than what they are afraid of or what circumstances look like. And Billy and I agree is touching it, that this revelation will come into them and they'll get it. You'll get it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We thank you for the Spirit of God helping us in this, all of us, to continue to say the right thing so that the right thing will come to pass in our lives.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to get my new book, God's Master Plan for Your Life. It'll help you. I mean, this, you know, words are a key to that master plan. You cannot be saying one thing and that's opposite of the master plan for your life and expect to know. So these are things that, this has things in it that Ken and I've learned through the years, and that Billy, we all had the same teacher, the Holy Spirit, Brother Hagin, and others that helped us. And you've got to know these things, and the only way you become solid in the truth is you put it in your eyes, in your ears, until it gets in your heart in abundance. It begins to come out your mouth, and it begins to arrange your life for the better. Hallelujah. So get your Bible, read your Bible every day, and get these books, and it'll help you to stay straight, to keep things straight.
Mm-hmm.
Glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm loving this teaching, so don't miss any of it. I'm telling you, Billy's given us something really, really vital, and it's in such a way that it's a little different. It's about faith. It's the same thing we learned from Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, but it's presented to us in a new way. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't miss any of the things. Get the broadcast. Listen to them every day. Go to the internet if you miss some. Don't let any of this get by you. You can change your world with your words. Billy and I'll see you again tomorrow. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455. Get ready to join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland along with other anointed ministers from across the country as we come together with believers from around the world. Spend an entire week in the Word at these life-changing meetings in 2008. Start things off in California at the West Coast Believers Convention, June 30th to July 5th, this year at a new location. Join us at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. Then head down to Texas for the Southwest Believers Convention from the 4th to the 9th of August at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. Finally, come to the Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. For more information on these or other Kenneth Copeland Ministries meetings, visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
So when you speak your words, you arrange things. You arrange things in your life. You arrange them negatively.
Yep, that's right.
Or you arrange them positively.